Welcome back to the Breakthrough Podcast. My name is Omar Muhammad, helping you improve and progress in business and in life. The Breakthrough Podcast is brought to you by the Minority Business Development Agency and EDAC, the Entrepreneurial Development and Assistance Center at Morgan State University. Hey, there's my co-host, Leon. What's hey, man, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I can't complain, man. It's a blessing to be back again. I'm excited about our guest today.
Absolutely, man. So before we get to our guest, you can find out more information about what we do at edacmorgan.com. That's edacmorgan.com. We also have an event coming up on August the 20th from 10 to 2. It's going to be a hybrid event. It's going to be the Ride Impact. So we're going to talk about family reunification. We're going to talk about access to capital. We have somebody coming in talking about skill development and, of course, telling your story. So those are going to be some of the resources that we have at the event. And you'll hear some testimonies from individuals as well. Of course, the podcast, you can find a podcast on edacmorgan.com. We also have what we call Ride University. Just some quick tips on how to get started in business. And don't forget about the magazine that we have as well. We partner with the Returning Citizens magazine. So I'm really excited about that opportunity. So with that said, I want to welcome our guest, Colin Frazier, to the microphone. Hey, Colin, how are you, man?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. How are you fellas doing?
Hey, doing well, man. Doing
excellent, well. Excellent.
So let's go. We get into it, man. We always ask individuals who we bring on, you know, how long have you been home? And when you came home, you know, what did you think about entrepreneurship, or what was your thinking?
Man, I came home 2008. I was always an entrepreneur. You know, I tell people, you know, I got the story in the Bible where God had gave out the talents. And I said, when God was giving out those talents, hustling was in the bag, and I snatched that. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's always been in my blood, even from when I was in high school. We were in an entrepreneurship class and went down to New York to Canal Street, and the person who sponsored the whole thing gave us $50. And that was the first time I fell in love with the Fuji, with the with the Blendy, you know, all the knockoff purses or whatever. Came back to school and exchanged my books for purses and bags and knockoff shoes, and I was killing them, you know what I'm saying? So I always thought about entrepreneurship, and you know, I thank God I'm just at the place where I am right now to be able to do it legally now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So what inspired you? You say you were always an entrepreneur. What inspired you to be an entrepreneur?
I think security, you know what I'm saying? I think that you have control of what you want to do in your life. I was a big control freak, you know, and of course, when incarcerated, you lose that control, you know what I'm saying? And that was one of the things I always wanted to keep. And so to being able to humble yourself, to be incarcerated and give up that control, not willingly, you know, it was a hard thing to do. And then being out, to come back out and having to gauge what you need to control in your life, people, things, relationships. And I think this is an opportunity for me not only to build security, but then what came now later in life with entrepreneurship that I found out is legacy. You know what I'm saying? I just don't want to be that statistic or, you know, just another young Black male who went off and did this, or even the young Black male who started a company or whatever. For, you know what I mean? I want my legacy to be there long after I'm gone.
Legacy, generational wealth, man. You know, that's what we talk about often, and, you know, making it happen as well. So let's get right into it. You know, tell us about your business.
Oh, so the business.
I
know, right? I would say the one that I'm most proud of is I run the first ever cannabis delivery. I have the first ever cannabis delivery app on the East Coast. Not only is Black owned, but then also we're the first cannabis delivery app in both stores. So we are the longest running When we started this, I actually built this for a client of mine. My background is in computer engineering. I went to school for, and I had built a delivery service for a client of mine. And I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Why don't do it myself? You know, I called a good friend of mine, partnered up on the business, and it was a doozy. It was a lot of red tape going through with the different laws and things you can and can't do. And what happened was, long story short, my business partner dropped out, and thus I had to put everything, you know, on my back as far as going toward building the app number one with a team overseas, and then also getting it into the Apple Play Store and the Google Play Store, which had probably been one of the hardest things to do, because we got rejected by Apple 9 times. And then they told us, if you submit to us again, we're just going to ban you from ever even submitting anything to us ever again. So it was definitely coming back to the drawing board and strategically trying to get into a market where you weren't wanted. Not even as a Black person, because we started to see some of the systemic things in there, because they were allowing apps there, but you could tell and you could see where they were. They're in California, they're in Sacramento there, alongside of the buddies there. So that's a whole other story. So it was getting through, but it wasn't getting through for us. Lo and behold, we got through 2021 of April.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's when we first got it into the stores, and that wasn't even half the battle. So we got it into the stores, and now we wanted to make sure everything was A1. We had to get a cannabis bank account. That took about maybe a month and a half. I'm just submitting paperwork after paperwork after paperwork, because like they didn't even believe me that, you know, this happened. And after I submitted the paperwork, of course, we did the beta testing. We want to make sure that this technology actually works, that is user-friendly. Me, I'm big on logic, user-friendly mechanisms. So we went ahead and we did all of that. Then to come out now, we finally, with the help of Earthly Conversions, help get our ancillary license, which is a license that lets you transport cannabis legally throughout the state of Maryland. And it's like the craziest thing, because I was locked up for cannabis, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Sneaking around and trying to move back and forth. You worry with the cops, you sweating bullets. But at this point in time, we all know what it is. Yeah. The most times you carry drugs on you, you transport, that is not even in the back of your mind. You just don't care anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because you've gotten away with it so long. You don't really care if the police pull you over, because you've been through this. You know the routine. You know how to wipe down your product, put the coffee on it, wrap it up tight, seal it. So all this now, you know, now I find out there's a process to it legally, where if you abide by it, you cross your T's, you dot your I's, and you get it done. And one quick story, because I don't want people to think that, because what we've been approaching people and saying, download the app, and they think this is like a fly-by-night, oh, I sell drugs too, so let me put it on your app type situation. There's an article that just came out recently. This is a fully legit wholesale cannabis warehouse in California that was super legit. But what they were doing, they were wholesaling it to unlicensed dispensary. And the feds were watching them for the past 2 years. They've probably been in business for 3 years. So imagine now they got caught by the feds. Yeah. And they said throughout that time, they made about $6 or $7 million throughout that time. But then now the maximum time being brought to the table is 35 years. Wow. So imagine 3 years. $5 million, right. $7 million. And then now, cut short, where almost half your life is now going to be spent in a penitentiary making negative money, you know? So I really want that to set in for people, where, you know, you may think that this looks good, or you may be on the right path, and it just takes that little sliver to move you off the tracks. And I think that's one thing I really attest for teaming up with Earthly Conversions, because I felt like I needed a team to help maintain my integrity, you know, with this, because I've been in there. And that's one thing for anybody who's a returning citizen who's listening: you need accountability. I don't care who you are, where you are, you need accountability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you a big grown person and you're big age. Trust me, we all need accountability. And being able to have Earthly Conversions do things the right way and model what's supposed to be done and teaming up with them, it just gives me a sense of pride saying, I don't want to let them down, let alone, you know, the people in my community. Because, yeah, $7 million may look sweet in the beginning for that little run you may have, but then now look at the next 35 years and that legacy, your name now is wiped.
Wow. That was, man, I got so many different things running through my mind. I just want to just applaud you for your persistence, you know what I mean, with this vision that you have for your company. It's very inspiring. And you mentioned some things that really hit home for me was accountability, partnership, and then obviously your resilience to keep like pushing for what you wanted, you know, as an entrepreneur. And you answered my next question already. I was going to ask you about like what motivated you and inspired you to start, you know, this organization. And you basically gave us the answer in reference to, you know, prior to you going in jail and being incarcerated, you know, you was in the streets, you know, dibbling, dabbling with marijuana. So it's like, you know, those same skill sets can be converted into a legit business. Definitely. And for you to be able to say that you have an app that no one else can say they have in the whole Mid-Atlantic region, I mean, that's awesome, man. Please tell us what the name of the app is. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. That, I know, right? That's crazy. I didn't even want to. That's not
I was going to get you there, man.
That was that. You know what I'm saying? Well, the company is Uplink. So it's UPLING LLC. And Uplink, and it's another forward thinking. Uplink is a made up word. It doesn't exist in a dictionary, but we built this word out with the intent of making this cannabis delivery. That's going to be the definition of Uplink, by bringing so much notoriety to it that when people hear Uplink will be the definition for cannabis delivery. So
you could definitely
check us out, www.uplinkapp.com or even uplinkllc.com. We're all over. You could just even Google Uplink. We're there. You could come in, you know, check us out. But Leon, man, I definitely want to, you know, talk about the thing where not only the resilience part, but what had me go into it. That particular question with me, even with this business, number one, I got 4 kids, I got a wife in the house. I can't fail. You understand what I'm saying? But then two, I wasn't even supposed to be here. This time, that 2008, when I went in, that was it for me. Not only going in jail, but prior with me even being there, I got shot 8 times. I got shot in my face. When I got shot in my face, it broke my eye socket. I got shot on the left side of my jaw, and it came out through the right side. Shot on my whole right side of my face. I got shot twice in my abdomen, my upper abdomen. Ooh. I got shot 1, 2, 3 times in my right arm, a shot of my radius bone. And I got shot in the back of the head. For that same dibbling dabble in the streets, or I was living the
somebody
life.
Tried to take you out, man.
Oh, the morning take me out. He tried to finish the job and all that, you know. And I mean, prior to that, you know, I was in the street dibbling dabbling at my finest, you know what I'm saying? And you know, they say keep your enemies close and your friends closer. And that's what happened in those situations. I got set up. A friend of mine who was with me actually got murdered. So after I got shot, I drove to Howard University Hospital. This is a Sunday, and I was done, laid out on a stretcher. The nurses put the mask over my face, and that was it. I was in an induced coma for about 3 days, woke up with this big Terminator thing on my arm with my shattered right arm, and my mouth was wide shut because of the bullets that went through the right side of my face, shattered the bone so severely they couldn't do any surgery to operate on my face. And at that time, you live in that type of lifestyle, really hardens your heart. My background, I grew up in a Christian church, you know, aunts or uncles, pastors or whatever. And I just got off the wrong track. You know, like I said, I was always that entrepreneur. And they always have that story where a knife in a chef's hand could be a blessing, but a knife in a robber's hand could be a terror. You know what I'm saying? Here's where I had that particular knife and I used it. To abuse, you know what I'm saying? Where I think I got locked up when I was 19, when I was 20. So prior to that, living the life, me, I'm the type of person, I sell my drugs. We gross in about $120,000 in a week. We move in about 800 to 600 pounds of marijuana every week. right there, Baltimore, Emerson and Payson, baby. You know what I'm saying? We was rocking. And, you know, come to a point where people looking at you, my whole thing was I sell my drugs and I'm in the club. You know, I like popping the champagne bottles, traveling. We saw that Mayweather, Oscar De La Hoya fight. I was on the floor. I wasn't even 21 years old yet. What I'm doing in Vegas, you know, doing all that. So it was a lifestyle. It was at that time I saw money could buy me anything.
Yeah.
Anything could buy me the power, the women, the liquor, the cars. It could buy me anything until I ended up in a situation where my friend lost his life. I almost lost my life. I spent about a week in the hospital, came back out and got shipped off to jail where I was in DC jail there. And my charges were second degree murder, gun charge, drug charge, intent to sell, you know, all this. I spent about 40 days in DC jail, got released, spent 2 years on house arrest fighting the murder charge. So I'm looking at 35 years mandatory, because you know the law is once you commit a felony and somebody dies, you're responsible for that. I had friends of mine who were just snitching on me, saying they saw me do this and that. You know, when you're in this type of lifestyle, you stash money different places. I'm coming for the money to come kick to pay for an $86,000 retainer lawyer paid for. Nobody don't know where my money at. It's missing. I'm still going back and forth to the hospitals doing surgeries to fix my eye, fix my jaw, fix my arm. You know, and all this time, I really just connected and found myself closer to God, you know, where there was a reason why he kept me alive, and it couldn't be to go back into the streets, you know. So long story short, I was accused of murder doing 35 years to then being released in the same federal government that was charging me, and I work for the federal government now. So one of my missions is to go back into the prisons. It took me 8 years after I got released to actually get back into the prison and do prison ministry. So we did Jessup, we did Clarksburg, and we did BCCC. We did Baltimore. So fun fact about Baltimore jail is that Baltimore is the second oldest penitentiary in the whole United States. They built the jail first, and then they built the city around it. And when you do the tour, it's so depressing because you could see where they used to hang the bodies there back in the day when they first were doing, when they were killing off people for whatever crime that they've did.
And talking about BCCC or the pen?
The pen.
Yeah. Oh, I've been in there.
Oh, yeah. And when you're in there, it is literally like the big cobblestones that they don't even make anymore. And then the steel. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's just pigeons flying all in there and everything.
It's
like
crazy.
That's their home. Like,
right? And there's no renovation. Like, there is no coming and rebuilding to fix up, to do better. No, it is what it is. The year was built. That's what it is. And I can only imagine the mindset. You know what I mean? And to be able to have the opportunity to go back in there and give these brothers a sense of hope that you don't have to choose this. You know, you could come out. So not only for me creating this business from a place where other people may have been, but then given that sigh of relief that I don't have to be in the streets. You know, why do you think they call it a trap? Because it traps you there. It's a trap. Who wants I don't know why people glorify it, because if they saw a mouse trap, would you stick your finger in it? You know, so if you see that this is a trap, why would you put yourself in it? Why would you glorify that? You understand what I'm saying? So be able to build something like my business, which is an escape route, you know, legally, you know what I'm saying? Why not jump on this bandwagon? Why not come get money with us? You know what I'm saying? Why not reach one, teach one? You know what I'm saying? So I think that's one of my biggest motivations. This is not just a delivery app. You know, we are the cannabis, we are the Uber Eats of cannabis. And this is not just another app.
All right. Alan froze.
Just froze on us.
Policies that might keep black and brown people down, you know? So this is not just, a get rich, I'm gonna make a lot of money with doing this technology thing or whatever the case may be, but it's employing people who look like us, you know what I mean? By bringing us to the table and not saying, oh, there's only a table big enough for me. That's why I'm building multiple tables for all of us to eat at the table.
I love that, man.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you for sharing your story, Colin.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, you know, you don't hear those stories being told. And, you know, this show is all about creating different pathways. And I know that you're doing the tech piece and, you know, you and I have had these conversations, you know, it'd be, you know, how can we begin to put together an initiative where we're working with returning citizens and really teaching them about the tech piece, you know, as a way out, you know, because, you know, sometimes when you talk to the brothers and the sisters on the street, you know, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. And they may come back to you and say, okay, what do you got that's better than what I have here? And I think that, you know, all this technology that we have, we can begin to train them more and using tech to create a different pathway. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and you know, I think this has been one of the biggest things on, I think, just teaching, not only teaching, but making it exciting. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So I think that's one of the things, because I work part-time for my church as well too. And I'm like, man, I think if we could solve what makes Christianity look good and exciting, I think more people want to jump into it, you know? So I think with the tech side, people are on Instagram, they're in their phone all day, every day. So they have some type of tech skills, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't know the power that they have in their hand to be able to monetize that instead of, you know, posting their shoes or posting their backside, you know what I'm saying? Or doing some type of dance, that the power that has to reach much more people compared to when, like, our parents had to do advertising and all this. You had to used to go through a master's program and go to school. Now you just got to get the attention. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's more putting the education piece to the excitement piece to the education piece and getting them excited about the technology that's out there. Because if I told you that there's a way, and I hate to use this as an example, and so, you know, back in the day, I used to run the streets, we used to do the skimming, you know what I'm saying? Imagine if I had a piece of technology that all I had to do is just come and tap you, and I could just swipe all your information from off your credit card. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't you want to know how that works? You know, but wouldn't you want to know if I could build an apparatus to find out your diet, your sugar, and I could assess that and say, hey,
wow,
let's prescribe these medications for you. You know, what if I could build a technology, an AI technology that can help prevent strokes? You know, I know some of these brothers and sisters running around here, their parents or their grandparents sick at home with something and they don't know what to do or how to do it. Imagine we're coming up with something innovative, you know, that could help solve that problem.
Yeah, that would be great. You know, technology is, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes no, but right now, you know, a lot of things that we're doing, I mean, even this conversation that we're having is through
technology.
Right. How can we begin to, because they already got these devices. So how can we begin to help them out with these devices? I want to jump with the time that we have remaining about telling your story. You know, because often when some of the returning citizens that I work with, I mean, they kind of hold it in and they don't really want people to know. You know, I mean, that's why, you know, Leon and I, we started doing this, but we also started doing it from a visual perspective because, you know, folk want to see, you know, the person behind the story. Mm-hmm. So what advice can you give to those individuals who, you know, who were not on the right path, but now are on a path to finding new pathways about telling their story?
I think it starts with knowing who you are. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Knowing who you are and whose you are. You understand what I'm saying? So always tell us, if you're a child, a son or daughter of Obama or one of the, or a mogul, a great mogul, so like Elon Musk or somebody, you're not going to act any kind of way. You're not going to go out here. You're not going to be in the streets because you know who you're representing. You know the type of respect and clout that they bring. You understand what I'm saying? So you're not going to act a fool out here and do that.
Right.
You know, and I think the biggest part for me is knowing who I was, my identity, and, you know, and serving the Lord and knowing that, you know, he's the maker of everything and everybody. So I can't represent him and do foolishness. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, it starts with knowing who you are. Get to know who you are, because no, you're not that trapper. No, you're not that drug dealer. No, you're not that one running the streets, you know, selling God knows what to get by. That's not you. That's definitely not you. You got a greater purpose. And your purpose is not to come out here to only be a fad for 2-5 minutes. And then you're either going away somewhere or you're doing extracurricular things to be seen or be noticed. That's not true. Yeah. You know, I think what we're here to show is legacy. We want your name still to remain after far, when you're far gone. You know what I'm saying? So it just shows the life that you're living now. You can't live your life any other kind of way to then be recognized later when you're gone. You want people because of your namesake that can help your kids' kids, right? Oh, that's so-and-so son. Oh, that's so-and-so daughter. Let me give you an opportunity to come work at my company. Let me give you an opportunity to come give you a house. A lot of us never had that opportunity.
Yeah.
You see what our parents and our forefathers had to work to. We never had land like that. It was taken from us, still being taken from us.
Yeah.
Where you have other people here, let me bless you with a house. Grandfather bank account, 50, 60 racks sitting in it. Here, grandson, whole lot. So then I could purchase a house. I don't have debt or anything like that. Wouldn't you want the same thing for your children, for your offspring, for your legacy, your name far after when it's gone? Remember that. This is not you, the person run out in the streets for the quick money. It doesn't work like that. If you're trying to build that base, that foundation, it's about consistency and persistence. You can't, we don't have the ability to become millionaires like that. Oh, it's slow. It's going to be slow. As an entrepreneur right now, and I'm going to be transparent, man, I'm losing money right now. You understand what I'm saying? Because I value my time and my efforts. As much money I might be make, but going to these different events or whatever the case may be, it's time away from my kids, time away from my family. And I put a dollar amount to that. So I'm at a loss right now. But it's that passion and that drive that keeps me going to know that this is not only just for me and my family, but it's for other families. And I think once we take notion of that to say, this is not a me thing, this is a we thing, I think we could do better when we come together. I mean, with Omar Leon here building this podcast, it's not only for their benefit, it's to reach others so that they can thrive and they could do better. You know what I'm saying? We're not counting other people's pockets. We want to make sure you have the ability to have big enough pockets to count all the money that's coming in. You understand what I'm saying? So it's realizing who you are. And I really want you to sit down with that and ask yourself, who am I? What is my purpose? And if you don't know, you can start with serving, get into your community, team up with a nonprofit, team up with the church and start serving the community. I promise you'll be able to serve. You'll find your purpose. If you don't know anything about what your purpose is, go and serve. Go into your community and help out. And there you'll see some of the pain points. You'll see some of the problems. And you'll get ideas on how to create solutions, how to create a business, and how to become a legacy.
I love it. All right, Kel.
That was deep, brother.
Yep, give out your contact information once again. So people.
Yeah, definitely. So Upling is the business. You could get to me at Colin, C-O-L-I-N. At uplingapp.com. Upling is spelled U-P-L-I-N-G. You could just Google me, then you'll see me come up there. Check out my IG. We're Upling LLC on all socials. You were serving a community near you. If you got your medical card or you need help getting your medical card, check out our website. We can help you get that. Also, just connect with me if you just want more education on what this whole cannabis realm is. We went to the Baltimore Carnival, and a lot of people didn't know that cannabis is becoming adult use in November, you know? Yeah. So it's no longer, I got an eighth in my pocket trying to hide or be discreet with it or whatever the case may be, because a lot of people use this for coping mechanisms, right? Yep. Get educated and find out what strains could better help you with some of the anxieties you're going through, with some of the trauma that you've been through. You don't have to use it as a means to escape just to get high. You could actually use this to help medicate yourself so that you could go about your day and be a greater you.
Man, appreciate you, bro, for coming on, man.
Definitely. Definitely, man. Appreciate you. You're a blessing, man.
Thank you. I appreciate you all.
We were blessed to have you on our podcast today, and thank you so much for some good words of wisdom, sharing your story. I'm sure everyone else that's going to be listening is going to be inspired, man. So keep up the great work, man, and definitely look forward to connecting with you.
Thank you.
All All right, good deal. So thank you, Colin. Again, Uplink, U-P-L-I-N-G. You know, that's where you can find him. Leon Robinson, the fourth is right there. I'm Omar.
Yes, sir.
Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back again next month. Until then, continue to improve and progress. Peace.
This is Mixed Lab Production.